So my name is Bruce Caldwell. I'm a medical oncologist, which means I'm a physician who was a general internist and then subspecialized in oncology, medical oncology, which is the treatment of cancer with systemic therapy or drug treatments for cancer in general. I work at the QE2. I'm an associate professor of medicine, and I am also a medical co-lead for systemic therapy for the cancer care program for Nova Scotia.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bruce, for taking the time to speak with me today. So my question today is there a link between alcohol and cancer? And if there is a link, can you elaborate?
So the answer is yes. There is evidence that alcohol itself is a carcinogen. In other words, it's a substance that causes cancer. There is also evidence that the oxidation caused from alcohol increases the risk of cancer. There is evidence that cancer or alcohol also increases estrogen in your body, which is a risk factor for certain types of cancers. So the answer is yes, it does cause cancer. And when we look at that, there's levels of evidence. So obviously we can't do a trial where half the people we feed alcohol to and half the people we don't, though there might be some volunteers for that. But we do have what we call epidemiological evidence, where we look at people who self-reported that they drank alcohol, and there is obviously a dose response curve. In other words, at a lower dose, there's a lower incidence of cancer, and a higher dose, there's a higher incidence of cancer. And then we look at this for various types of cancers, and we've shown it of increased risk for various types of cancer.
So what types of cancer would you say are the most associated with alcohol consumption?
So two of the most common types of cancers I see is colon cancer and breast cancer, and both of them are associated with increased risk associated with alcohol, a little bit more for breast than for colon. We also see that in what we call the head and neck cancers, larynx and pharynx, esophageal cancer, stomach cancer, liver cancer, to name a few of them.
Why does it affect these areas particularly?
Sometimes we don't know exactly. The breast cancer is probably more related to estrogen. Anyone that has a higher level of estrogen for over the lifetime has a higher increased risk of breast cancer. And we know breast cancer, about 60% of them have receptors on it for estrogen, which is a growth factor for regular breast cells, but also for cancerous breast cells. I would assume that when you look at what would have a higher exposure to the alcohol, the head, neck, esophagus, and stomach, so you'll see the increased incidence, and the bowels as well. So it's probably because a little bit more increased direct exposure to the carcinogen, and therefore you're seeing the higher risk.
Do Nova Scotians consume alcohol regularly or like other countries? Do you know any statistics on that?
I don't know the exact statistics, but I know that Nova Scotia, compared to the other provinces in Canada, do drink more than the other provinces in Canada. So it's a higher consumer than the Western provinces. The pattern of alcohol drinking is about the same around the world. Most people, most places, they'll see the so-called binge drinking, where you won't have anything during the week, and you might have increased alcohol use on the weekends.
So can we talk a little bit about carcinogens and what they are and how they affect our lungs?
So carcinogens are substances that cause cancer. So if you look in animal models, you expose them to these substances and they'll cause cancer. An example of that is smoking. People who smoke, we look at the exposure to cigarette smoke, and there's increased numbers of cancers in animals that have been exposed to those. And it can occur in any way. So alcohol, obviously, as I mentioned, can be in the GI tract for head and neck, esophagus, stomach, and colon. So they're exposed that way. And there's some really good studies and evidence that have shown higher exposure causes more cancers. And so that's how we determine that this is a, what we call a carcinogen.
What are some preventive measures we can take?
So it depends on what you're talking about. So if we're talking about alcohol, the preventive measure is use everything in moderation. So when we look at something, we're worried about something being a carcinogen. In public, in the general public, we try to avoid carcinogens. We don't hang around where there's a high amount of air pollution. And the risk that we consider standard is we want to keep things under 1 in a million. So if the increased risk is 1 in a million for a general public that you don't take voluntarily, we consider that a higher risk. So they'll look at, you know, exposures to radiation or air pollution or things like that. When you're looking at something voluntarily, if you voluntarily take alcohol or cigarette smoke, we consider it a low risk if it's one, it's increasing your risk of mortality by 1 in 1,000. So significantly less. We consider it a moderate risk if it's 1 in 100. So if you drink alcohol and you limit it to less than 2 drinks a week, that is a low risk. If you drink between 3 and 6 drinks a week, it's a moderate risk. So that's increasing your risk by tenfold. So obviously, decreasing the amount of alcohol you drink will decrease the risk for cancer.
With alcohol consumption and some of the smoking, are these effects instant or do they take years?
So cancer is something that takes years. So what cancer is when you take your normal cells, they're dividing, and you expose it to something, they will eventually, you know, they will cause damage to the DNA, and eventually there'll be a mistake. It's replicated, and eventually that becomes a cancer. So that takes many years for most cancers. If you have a predisposition to a cancer, if you have a genetic defect or a hereditary defect, you may get that cancer a lot earlier or a lot faster. And there are some people, and it's often known, there's the Asian population often have a defect in the enzyme that breaks down alcohol. So they will have a higher level of acetaldehyde, which is one of the direct carcinogens from alcohol, and they will have higher levels in some people that have this. And so that gene is very common in Southeast Asia, actually. I think, you know, the people know about the public problems with alcohol. You know, they know about cirrhosis, but I don't think a lot of people realize the cancer risk with this. And so before I was born, 1960, 50% of the population smoked. It's now down to only 10% of the population. Obviously, smoking is a much, much higher risk than alcohol. But by decreasing their alcohol consumption, we can lower risk. I want to put myself out of business.